Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome back to the Reformed Dissenters. That's us. We are the show where Reformed Christians dissent against popular ideas of culture by asserting a biblical worldview. My name is Bruce Johnson, joined, of course, and as always, by my brother, Jacob Johnson.
Hello, everybody.
And this is episode 301. You made it! We are on the other side of that line, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for pushing us over that line. We assume you were pushing, or maybe you were just, I don't know, sitting there thinking, well, that might be it. Nope, psych, we're back. And maybe you were pushing by hitting subscribe, in which case, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Or maybe you were pushing by leaving us reviews and five-star ratings. I don't know. Maybe that's a thing, too. Did I just casually market this show for five-star reviews and subscriptions? Maybe. Or maybe I was just making it an allegory. But today is current events Monday, Wednesday. It's been a long day. Wednesday. And we are, it's been a long day, I say, as this comes out on the morning. So, psych, I've been up all night, apparently. Today, we are going to be talking about some pretty strange wackadoodle stuff that, I mean, it's kind of nice that previous generations didn't have to deal with it. Unfortunately, we do today, although all may not be as it seems. And there were, in fact, times where things like this arose. And we'll be talking about those as well. So, we're also going to have a theological wrap-up because, of course, it's a current events Wednesday. We have to have that. I mean, we got to talk about the Bible and what it says about these current events. So, my theological wrap-up today is really going to be a little bit more of a shorter discussion around when the glory of creation is used against its creator, when the glory of creation is used against its creator. And I'll be using Psalm 108 for that. But before we get into all that, we have to do what we always do, and that's talk about our verse of the week. And we figured, you know what? We haven't done this in a while. It has been several weeks since we, not weeks, years, since we went back to the verse that started it all, the verse that started us as a show. This probably would have been more appropriate for episode 300, but hey, 301, it's the start of a new century of episodes. Yeah, that doesn't work.
That's a good way of explaining that. I didn't think about that, you know. 300 episodes, so we better we talk about what we talked about in our very first episode of what this entire show is about. But
yep, there it is. And episode 301, we are coming back to, like we said, the verse that started it all, Matthew 5:13, and this verse says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." That's again Matthew 5:13. So when we started this show, Jake and I, we started it coming fresh, hot off the heels of COVID. And COVID was a time when everyone and their brother was freaking out about something they couldn't see, shutting down restaurants, shutting down businesses, running rampant and wild, and couldn't see with the naked eye, I should specify, because I don't think it was a hoax, but anyways, that's a totally different story. And massive amounts of craziness was happening in a world that was desperately lacking any sort of solid foundation, where everything was crumbling, everything was falling apart. Where were the Christians? We are, as the church, the bride of Christ is meant to be the pillar and ground of truth. The bride of Christ is supposed to be what everyone looks to for light, for hope, and specifically, pertaining to our verse today, preservation. The preservation of a society should be the Christians in that society. And yet, that didn't happen in the amount it needed to. And so, this verse, I think, started our show because it's extremely pertinent to what the times, what we need today, what the issues are, what the signs of the times, if you will, what problems we're running into as people. And that is that Christians don't know how to live as Christians. Christians don't know that it's their duty to preserve society like salt preserves canned meat. It's a good thought for you. Now I'm hungry. Like canned the church.
Meat. You're hungry for canned meat?
Spam. Barreled meat. I'm hungry for smoked barreled meat.
Okay.
Which is where this analogy comes from, in case anyone is very confused right now. And this like the church holding up society as the pillar it should be, we needed and we need today Christians standing up. And we wanted to be those sorts of Christians who could stand in the gap and be able to know what we're supposed to do and do it, to live like Christians, to act as if Christ is really king over everything, and to live it. And so we started this show, and we started discussing these things and studying these things and reading these books and working through these difficult concepts, much like we will today. And we discovered there were a lot of other people out there waking up to this same truth, which was glorious. And so we got to partner with them and have them on the show and go on their shows. But ultimately, at the heart of it, the core for all of us, this band of brotherhoods, bubbling band of brotherhoods. Nah, that doesn't work. Trying to do alliteration and failed miserably. But this band is centered around the idea that Christians are supposed to be the salt of the earth. And maybe on Wednesday, I don't know what Jake's going to cover, but the second half of this verse talks about what happens to Christians who aren't. And so maybe we'll hear more about that on Friday. I cannot get my day straight because today is Wednesday and not Monday. And with that, I will pass it over to Jake. Yes. And with that, I will pass it over to Jake to talk about our current events for this
week. I think to add to what you were talking about, the verse, I know I was just recently wearing my TRD show shirt out and about, and someone saw the verse and was like, "What does that verse say?" And I knew what it said, and I was saying the verse, and they were like, "What is that supposed to mean?" And that's why I was a little rusty. I was like, "Oh, how do I explain this in the best way?" to someone who I knew this person wasn't a Christian, right? To explain to them what it meant to be salt and light, what it meant to be, you know, this salt, what that was supposed to even mean. And I was a little bit rusty on sort of like, I guess that elevator pitch that I'm supposed to, that, you know, to give to sort of like explain what that's supposed to mean. But I think still, given that, I think I did decently well. Speaking about the fact that, you know, Christians shouldn't lose their saltiness. They shouldn't be ineffective in working and in doing and in life. So I will talk about more about that on Friday. Believe me, I am developing ideas, and I know what I want to do on Friday, and I think it's going to be really interesting. So stay tuned.
Can't wait.
For that. However, today's big story is about IVF, in vitro fertilization. Very interesting conversation to be having, and I must admit, I have more questions in this than answers.
Oh boy.
So, yeah, this is more of this. Well, I mean, this is, again, I think this is a very great time to be going over this, but this is the whole point of this show. It's for us to bring to you these things that are happening in the world, that are happening in current events, and show them to you and say, what are your thoughts on this? How do we think about this through a biblical perspective? And for us to even, like, here are some things that I was thinking about, or, you know, to give a few little tidbits of ways that you could do your research, right? We're not here to do the research for you. We're here to bring you things to think about that you can go out and do research, that you can figure out and put together these ideas, right? Again, we're trying to give you small little tidbits to help you formulate those ideas. But I think and that's kind of like the point of this show, and that's kind of the point of this episode right now, is I want to bring to you these questions, these thoughts about IVF, and what is being thought about here. To add to this, one of the biggest questions I've had, and I think this tidbit where I, you know, could lead your thinking probably, is probably one of the biggest questions that I've had about this is, are we living out the Tower of Babel? Right. And that will make a little bit more sense when I get towards the end, but keep that in mind. Is that a possibility? Are we living out another Tower of Babel? IVF, in vitro fertilization. That is where you take the egg of a woman and the sperm of a man, and they literally, in a petri dish, create a human child, right? So, is that right? Is that something that we should see as a good thing, right? There are multiple arguments on either side, but to go over the facts real quick, and why do I bring this up? Why is this a current event and not just something that we talk about in a theological discussion as being an idea? The reason I talk about this as being a current event is because the Senate Democrats are pushing to codify a broad federal protections for in vitro fertilization. They are looking to create agencies, or not necessarily agencies, but they are looking to protect these rights of people allowed to be doing this. And for it to be assisted through the federal government, right? Not only is it protected, it's also assisted by the federal government. And I'll get to that in just a little bit.
But even apart from the issue itself, we can write that off immediately.
Yeah.
As a red flag and as something that we should, I mean, from a civil governmental standpoint, that right there is our first, first boo-boo, you know?
Yeah. So, Republicans, in right standing, block this bill because it was too broad and they wanted a more scaled back version. So they're taking issue with the fact that they're saying this should be assisted by the federal government, and to go even further, that the states cannot have involvement in this. That the states cannot say whether or not they want this or not. Right? So the Republicans are taking issue with the fact of now you're pushing against the civil rights of the rights of the state to control its to have that lesser magistrate, right? To be able to protect their people. Now you're going over their heads and you're creating this law on a federal level. That should it be put out on a federal level? Isn't this a state-by-state basis? And the concern with this and where this might lead is this a way that Democrats are getting into reversing Roe v. Wade or reversing the reversal of Roe v. Wade, right? Mm. Is this another way of them just inching in to kind of get
that's
that
a good angle?
Yeah, to get
and unfortunately, we know Trump and Carrie Lake are not going to stand on the right side of it because look what they did with the abortion thing. I mean, was it Arizona? I think it was Arizona that passed a bill that banned most abortion in the state, and that was their right. That's overturning Roe v. Wade allowed them to do that as we celebrate. Actually, we're going to celebrate that next week here in Moscow, which is going to be fun.
Nice.
Block party. Woo! Celebrating the overturning of the worst judicial decision in American history that murdered 60 million babies. And Carrie Lake and Trump, literally the savior of the Republican Party. savior. The dude literally was like, this is horrible. How dare Arizona stand? Timers are fun. Live studio audience. Almost. How dare Arizona stand against this? Right? Trump and Carrie Lake, literally. So I do not trust them one bit to stand against this. This new issue.
It's quite crazy. But to further go into this bill, the bill would establish, and I kind of talked about this just a little bit. The bill would establish a federal right, for IVF assisted services, right? So this would allow, them to have, I guess, in hospitals and stuff, for this to be a thing that's allowed or to be put through in all hospitals or whatever, something like that. But that these services would be assisted not only by the federal government, but that this would be a protected right. And the big part of this, that states cannot change this. They cannot say, well, we want a little bit more of a restrictive thing on this. We want to say only families can have this. Only a relationship between a man and a wife can have. A husband and a wife can have this, or something like that. You know, they can't change that. That's what this bill would put through. Republicans, right, are looking for a more scaled back version of this bill, which would allow states to be either strict or unrestrictive, depending. Which I think is a good idea. This is something that should be allowed in the states for the most part. Hopefully, then the churches would stand up and say, hey, we don't like this, right? Hopefully, then it still would be close enough to the churches that they would be able to actually affect this. Because I think that's the whole point of this being in the states, being allowed in the states, because now the churches are closer to the issue and they can actually affect it. Instead of it being in the federal government, and now that church feels so disconnected from the federal government that they have no say, you know. Whereas in the state, they can actually work towards that. So, one change, specifically, and I did mention this before, but the Republicans want this to not be something that's connected with Medicaid, right? Something specifically mentioned in this bill is that these services would be allowed to be, not purchased, but funded by Medicaid. So if you were on Medicaid, right, and you had Medicaid, you could use that to pay for this type of service. Obviously, we don't want that. We don't want the government involvement in all of that. So I think it's very, very good that this was blocked. And specifically on that issue, a vote was forced last Thursday to push this through, for this to become a bill. However, it was blocked by the Republicans, thankfully. So they are still going through this. This is not already through. This is not already a bill that is in place. This is being pushed, however. A specific quote that I would like to bring up, which adds to the issues and the reasons I would say that this is wrong, additively, right? Not only is this an unnatural way of creating life that makes it a little bit odd and makes it a little bit like, are we playing God here? But also, here's another issue. This is from NBC News, a quote about the pushback on this. And this quote says, at the heart of the tension is a belief among many social conservatives that life begins at conception. If written into law, that could mean that embryos discarded as part of the IVF process, a common occurrence. And I'm going to stop the quote here to kind of explain this. What happens is after they create this life, then they store it. They freeze it, right? They freeze the life, right? Then, if it gets too old, they throw it out. They discard it.
Wow. That's literally murder.
Yeah, exactly. And to continue my quote, if written into law, that could mean that embryos discarded as part of the IVF process, a common occurrence, are treated as murder or manslaughter. Many Republicans, including House Speaker Mike Johnson, have signed on to legalize a legislation that would give a fertilized egg the rights of a person, end quote. Which I think is very, very good, especially for Mike Johnson. So that's another issue that can be discussed here. I wanted this to be more of a question, right? Should this be allowed? Should this not? But I'm coming out a little bit strong on this, saying that it's not. And I think I should be strong on this, that it's not, because in multiple of these cases, this would be murder. This would be, right?
Where it's pretty obvious.
Morally speaking. However,
evident.
The pushback to that, and I've had these thoughts myself, is that an issue of the process as a whole, or is it the people handling this, right? Because it's the same sort of issue that we have with guns, is it's not the gun's fault that someone got hurt. It's the person who shot the gun, right? Is this process itself morally right or morally wrong? Or is it the fault of the people doing this? I'm trying to be a little in the middle here, even though I am on one side and I believe wholeheartedly this is wrong. However, I'm trying to be a little bit of the middle ground here to give way to questions and, you know, people to discuss this. My issues with this. Embryos, which are not used in this process, are thrown out. Murder, right? We just discussed this. However, the other issue that I want to bring up, and is it getting too close to time here?
That's all right.
Do you want?
Yeah, okay. We got a few minutes.
My next question, and this brings us to the Tower of Babel issue point that I brought up before. Are we trying to play God? Right? Is this a bigger issue than just because this is very popular? And I want to mention the SBC here, where they recently put out a position. Or this at least is being talked about in the SBC. I don't know if this is a position paper or whatever it be, a statement, or if this is still being talked about. But where they have talked about this as IVF being wrong, and a lot of people push back against that, very emotionally though, in saying that, oh, I know people who have had this, you know, who have gone through this process, and you know, we have so much life because of this, because of IVF, and it's like, sure, but do the means justify the ends, right? Or do the ends justify the means? At least there we go.
Yeah,
I was thinking it was the other way around, but no, it is. Do the ends justify the means? There,
yeah,
right. Just because it ends up good, right? Just because it does end in life, does it mean that this should be, does this mean that it's good? Totally. If these reasons and what we have to go through in order to create that, is that unbiblical? Right? Naturally, a person will have to, will try to have a child, and it is up to God to give a husband and a wife that child or not. Right? This is something that has been in, you know, this has been God's judgment, right? Bruce was bringing up a verse in the pre-show talking about God's, Bruce, what was that verse that you were bringing up
before? Which relating to what? Sorry. Go ahead.
The womb.
And, right. Well, God talks about the fruit of the womb being a blessing, being something that is, fruitfulness is a gift from God. I think it's Psalm 95 talks about that, but it's one of the Psalms, and talking about child rearing and the arrows and how that's a very obvious representation that God is blessing you as a family, is that your house is fruitful, right?
I think
the womb
specifically
is fruitful.
Yeah. I think my point in this is the fact that this is a gift from God, right? This is something given to you by God. This is not something that you have decided for yourself. Is yes or no, this is something God has given to you.
Yeah, and when you're trying to make it something that you're in control of, well, now what are you doing? And this is when Jacob brought up the Tower of Babel thing before, right? You are literally trying to make yourself God. But more than that, you're worshiping the creation to an unhealthy level. You're saying, this thing is so good, I'm going to be the one in control of it, right? I'll get to that in my wrap up in a second. I'm sure you've got a little bit more there, Jake, but that's what you're literally saying. God's creation, the way that he is providentially ordaining things right now, is not good enough. Now that's the question arises. Well, okay. But what about other medical procedures? What about someone dying from cancer or someone who has a broken bone? Didn't God providentially have that person break their bone? I mean, should doctors really fix it based on your argument? You know, but obviously this is a different matter because we're talking about life. We're talking about something that is very...
The creation of life, not
the creation
of
life.
Life.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the Imago Dei being created. And we're trying to say we as humans can control that from the very beginning. And what does God say? What did David write? In my mother's womb, you stitched me together. Right?
Yeah.
That's the way that it is meant to work is within a womb, the stitching occurs. If we try to take it out, now we're saying, no, we can create the womb. We'll do the stitching. We will do the growing. We'll be in charge of that. That's on us.
Yeah. Right.
My thoughts on this aren't fully formed, but those are just some initial ideas that I have.
Again, like I've been saying this entire episode, these are questions, these are thoughts, these are things that we're putting out there. Please do respond and give your own opinions and thoughts on this. But I wanted to mention here this verse, our verse of the week, right? Are we trying to be something other than salt? Are we trying to act like pepper? Are we trying to act like a different seasoning? Are we trying to act like something that we're not? Right? Are we trying to be the ocean that the salt came from? Right? So I think this is really interesting that people have a purpose, right? That we're given this purpose to be salt, right? And we're trying to say, I don't like being salt. I want to be something else.
Right.
We're destroying our purpose. We're destroying the reason that we were created, right? Yep. And that creates so much of the issues that we have nowadays with depression and all these other issues, right? We're trying to be something we weren't created to be.
Yep.
Right? We're trying to act like God in this situation. We weren't meant to be God.
Yep. And that takes us directly into our theological wrap-up for today. We're talking about when the glory of creation is used against its creator. This will be a short one, 4 or 5 minutes long. But I think this is an important point, and I started to make it earlier. Jacob's been making it kind of this whole time, but I really think Psalm 108 makes it abundantly obvious. There are so many things. The Psalms are so rich. They're so full of so many truths. But I want to harp on just a few things and pull them out of this psalm. But let me just read the first 6 verses. Psalm 108, verses 1 through 6. Quote, "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth, that your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me." So there are some core themes here, right? The glory of creation is obviously here, and how marvelous it is that God created it for us to glorify him with. What is the purpose of creation? Why did he create us here? What is man's sole purpose? What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? That's why we're here. And we're not just supposed to have this surface level, give lip service to it. But what does it say in verse 1? "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being." So we're supposed to glorify God with our whole being, with everything we've got. And also we're supposed to glorify him publicly and among all the nations, right? What does it say in verse 3? "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." This is a very public thing. It's a very real thing. This is an everyday thing, and it's an all-consuming thing, right? This should be fully consuming us, that we glorify the Lord with everything we've got. But how do we do that? We do it through his creation. That's what we're told to do. We glorify him and we pray that he is exalted in all the earth through his creation. So creation was created to glorify God. We were created to glorify God through the creation. But because of the fall, because of our immense capacity to twist that, pervert that, take what is meant for so much good and use it for so much evil, that's our natural tendency. We take the good of this world. Naturally, if left to ourselves, we distort it in a horrible, horrible way, in a disgusting way. That's our natural tendency. Now, this has occurred countless times in history, times we probably don't even know about that the history books leave out, right? This is what human beings do. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Rome in Romans 1. They traded the immortal God for things of mortal man and birds and creeping things, right? That's what we do. We take the glory of creation, something as glorious as childbirth, and we distort it. We say, no, no, I will control that too. No, no, I'm going to use that to be God, to take the glory of childbirth that is meant to be a blessing, that is meant to show the goodness of God to a family, and say, no, that's going to be what I do. And now that glory came from me. But it is fascinating, though. Still note, we have to use what to do that? Can we create sperm? Can we create eggs? No, we can't. We can only take what God has given us and use it. Now, the devil can't create either. What does he do? He takes all the good things in creation, all the marvelous, wonderful blessings God has given us, all the physical things in the earth, and he does what? He perverts them. He distorts them. Because he can't create, he can only destroy. And so when we take the glory of creation and we step outside God's order and we say, no, I'm God. I will decide when a child is born or not. I will do this my way, and I will do it outside the womb, which is supposedly the blessing of God. Then what are we doing? We're taking the creation and using it against its creator. We're taking the glory of creation and using it against the creator. But as Psalms often do, there's a positive term. And that's the end of this. Be exalted, O Lord, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth, that your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me. And this is the point of this, is that when God's glory is declared over all the earth, his people are saved from destruction. That's the goal. The goal is to do the opposite of what our natural tendency is to do, the opposite of what the devil and his minions are waging war to try and do, is to push back, to fight, to stand strong, and to say, no, we're going to glorify God through his creation. We're going to glorify him with our minds, with our thoughts, with our emotions, with our strength, with our full being, with our soul, with our with the creation that he's blessed us with everything that he has given to us. I am going to use that to glorify God with my full being. That's what we're supposed to do. And when that's done across the whole earth, this psalm says that will be the salvation of God's people. That's what we're working towards. We are working towards a renewed earth, an earth where these sorts of corruptions don't occur. I'm talking myself into this position as I speak, and actually as I studied this. Really, honestly, the more you think this through, and with these biblical truths, I am very much looking forward to hearing a rebuttal, a Christian, biblically founded rebuttal against the position we're sort of, can we just say we're taking this position right now? Because yeah. I feel like we're kind of opposed to this idea. If you have, as a Christian in the audience, biblical proof that says this is something that is godly or righteous or biblical, we'd love to hear it. As it stands, I feel like I'm probably taking a harder stance on this than I would have initially thought. So anyways, with all that, thank you so much, Jacob, for all your work you put into this. This was just marvelous. Tremendous amount of research. There's so much here. And also special thanks to our mom. Jake and mom are kind of the tag team behind the scenes. It's episode 301. We're going to reminisce just a little bit for like 30 seconds. They put so much work and effort, and it's not just writing. It's not just reading and researching. It's also discussing and conversing. And that's the glorious thing about a family, is you get to have those conversations and you get to discuss those things in the house all the time and apply the Bible to all areas of life. So they do that. And Jake brings that glorious, glorious stuff here on the show. So thanks, Jake. That's great. Thank you all in the audience so, so much for watching or listening to us today. Our show website is trdshow.net. You can follow us there. Not follow us there, but you can watch all our episodes there, which is cool, free, and censorship-free. Also, follow us on all our social media pages, where Aaron Jensen himself, the director of Serrated Edge, is... I think we've officially given up on the other title. He's now officially the director of Serrated Edge. he manages all our social media posts and pages and all that kind of stuff. So you don't want to miss all that great content over there. Check us out. We're looking forward to seeing you on Friday when we wrap up Dr. Rigney's book, chapters 5 and 6. So stay tuned for that. Until then, remember, everyone, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord.